Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Just for the record, this is my first ever podcast. I've got Advocate Craig Bosch with me today. Craig's a well-known member of the Cape Bar, certainly in the employment law circles. He's also a well-known author and an academic. Didn't you write a little book on reviews, Craig, with Anton Meiberg?
I did with Anton Meiberg. Good afternoon, everyone.
So thanks for being with us, Craig. Have you ever done a podcast before?
No, I haven't. I feel like it's been a great difference in my upbringing.
Probably says something about our age. But anyway, so what we're going to be doing today is discussing employers' liability in terms of the Employment Equity Act. Briefly going to discuss quite a new case, PSA on behalf of Ms. AG, and you'll see why we use her initials as this plays out, against the Department of Agriculture. Craig's going to give his insights into quite a precedent-setting case that he helped us with, at Sumka versus ShopRite Checkers. Ms. Sumka has applied for leave to appeal to the Concord, so we're keeping an eye on that matter. Okay, right, so PSA versus the Department of Agriculture. Just a disclaimer, the department didn't attend the arbitration, so we only have Ms. AG's version, and there could well be an application for rescission in due course. But anyway, we'll deal with the facts as they were before the arbitrator. So Ms. AG was a land use officer in the department. She's also a shop steward. And in June 2019, there was a shop steward's meeting. And what's significant is that this meeting was during working hours. And it was also at the department's premises. So what happens at this meeting, you actually can't make up. So Ms. AG finds herself seated next to a fellow shop steward. Let's call him Neil. And during the meeting, she notices that Neil's staring quite intently at her and his hands under the table. So on closer inspection, she sees that Neil's pants are undone and that he's masturbating while he's watching her. So obviously this brings the meeting to a very quick halt. She screams in horror. The chairperson asks Neil what he's doing, and he admits to masturbating in the meeting. So Ms. AG does, quite rightly, is the next day she lodges a grievance with the department. So to cut a long story short, the department doesn't seem very interested in helping her or dealing with her grievance. And finally, after about a month, she gets a letter from the department telling her that this has got nothing to do with the department. It wasn't a department-sanctioned meeting. It's union business, and she must address her grievance to the union. What she does do is she refers a dispute to the CCMA in terms of Section 60 of the Employment Equity Act. And the whole story I've told you now is basically the story she tells to the arbitrator. And it's also corroborated to some extent by another witness, Axel, who says he saw the self-same Neil masturbating in public at work. And he says he reported it to Neil's manager and that Neil received a warning for his conduct, which seems like a slap on the wrist, to say the least. But anyway, the commissioner considers the evidence, and he looks at the unfair discrimination provisions in the Employment Equity Act. And as you'll know, in terms of Section 6.3 of the Act, harassment's a form of unfair discrimination. And he also looks at the test for sexual harassment, as it's recorded in the amended Code of Good Practice for sexual harassment cases. And he applies the test correctly. So was the conduct complained of on a prohibited ground of sex and or gender? Certainly in this case it was. Was it unwelcome? Most definitely. And he looks at the nature and extent of the conduct complained of. And look, we've done a lot of sexual harassment cases. This is probably one of the worst I've ever seen. And he also looks at the impact of the sexual conduct, of the sexual harassment on Ms. AG. And in this case, she needed to go for counseling and therapy, et cetera. So certainly, he establishes that there's definitely been sexual harassment. So what he does next is he looks at the employer's liability in terms of Section 60 of the Employment Equity Act. And just briefly, there are four parts to this section. So firstly, if an employee, whilst at work, contravenes a provision of the Employment Equity Act, it has to be brought immediately to the employer's attention. So in this case, we have that because what Ms. AG does is the very next day, she reports and raises it through a grievance. The second part is that the employer must then consult with the relevant parties, and it's obliged to take the necessary steps to eliminate the alleged conduct and to ensure compliance with the Act. So this is where the department falls massively short, because they just washed their hands of the matter. They didn't speak to any of the parties afterwards. In terms of Section 60, if the employer doesn't do this, and there is a contravention of the Act, then the employer is deemed to also have contravened the Act. So it's kind of a form of vicarious liability. However, if the employer is not liable if it can show that it's done all that's reasonably practicable to ensure that the employee would not act in contravention of the Act. So here, it's very clear that the department should be held liable or deemed to have also committed the Act. So the commissioner, again, quite rightly finds that the department is liable in terms of Section 60, and he orders 12 months compensation to Ms. AG. Really, the facts of this case, you know, boggle the mind. But so briefly, I've dealt with Section 60 with some interesting facts, I guess. I'm going to hand over to Craig now to discuss SAMHCA. So SAMHCA also deals with employer liability, but in the context of customers in a retail store. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Jose. Yeah, I mean, SAMHCA is it's an interesting case in that it's somewhat unusual, because it's not your classic an employee claiming that they've been unfairly discriminated against by another employee and therefore the employer is liable. But rather, in this case, there was a customer of ShopRite in their Fishhook store who said some incredibly racist things to Ms. SAMHCA, who was an African woman. And so there was discrimination on the facts. And the question was whether the employee, Ms. SAMHCA, could rely on Section 60 to hold the employer liable in the circumstances where that discrimination was perpetrated by a customer as opposed to a fellow employee.
So Craig, is that what Ms. SAMHCA wanted? Did she want ShopRite to be held liable?
She wanted ShopRite to be held liable for the unfair discrimination, and she relied on Section 60, which creates this kind of statutory vicarious liability, if you can call it that. The section, however, says very clearly that the liability on the part of the employer is in cases where the unfair discrimination is committed by an employee. And the Labor Appeal Court's decision in SAMHCA, the Labor Court's and the Labor Appeal Court's decision in SAMHCA really turned on that point, that you can't read Section 60 any other way. It says, you know, employer liability is where an employee commits unfair discrimination against another employee, and that's really the end of the matter. There was some suggestion that, when the matter was argued in court, that the court should somehow interpret this provision in accordance with the Constitution and thereby extend the liability of an employer in terms of Section 60, because they can control their premises and somehow regulate the conduct of customers. But the court wasn't amenable to accepting those arguments, wasn't prepared to extend the reach of Section 60. And, you know, it is one of these cases where the employee has alternative remedies. It wasn't like she was remedy-less, which would have been a travesty. She could have brought a claim in terms of the Promotion of Equality and Protection Against Unfair Discrimination Act, PUPUDA. She could have sued the customer and delict exercising her common law rights. But what she couldn't do was rely on Section 60 of the Employment Equity Act to bring out an unfair discrimination claim against her employer. Against the employer.
In respect of a customer.
The customer, exactly.
Yeah. No, look, I think that's right. And like you quite rightly point out, she had lots of alternative remedies available to her.
Look, they're not as good remedies in the sense that the CCMA is an easier vehicle to access and utilize because it's cheap and it's relatively quick. And the other remedies would probably involve going to court and would involve more expense and delay and technicality and all of that. But there were other remedies, and it was a very difficult ask to expect the court to fundamentally reinterpret the wording of Section 60 to allow her to bring a claim against the employer in these circumstances.
Yeah. Craig, thanks for your time and sharing your insights with us. And let's hope that leave to appeal is not granted. This just goes to show, you know, especially with the first case, employers have a responsibility to eliminate unfair discrimination in the workplace. And they've got to take that responsibility seriously. And it's not only a statutory duty, but it's also a moral obligation. And if they don't, then they must face the stiff consequences in terms of the Employment Equity Act.
Yes, agreed.
We have limited time. We could carry on talking about this for quite a while. So thank you to everyone who's joined us and to Craig, and we'll speak again soon. Thanks, Craig.
You're very welcome. Cheers.
Cheers.